You're listening to Your Music, Your Business, a podcast helping you to explore the business behind your music.
Hello and welcome back. I am so thrilled that you're here today to talk about all things metadata with me. We've had a bit of a lull in our podcast recently because the music industry has been very busy, and as we all know, most of us have more than one job in the music industry, so trying to juggle it all has been difficult. But I'm here today and back talking about something that I have found to be a topic of conversation that keeps coming up in the music industry at the moment, and that, of course, is metadata. Now, for those of you that don't know, metadata is a way that we can sort information in the music industry, but also in our everyday lives. Actually, to give full transparency, I actually did ask ChatGPT, and this is what they had to say: that metadata is a descriptive information associated with a piece of music, including its title, artist, album, genre, release date, and other relevant details. Metadata plays a crucial role in organizing, categorizing, and managing music in various contexts, such as digital music libraries, streaming platforms, and music databases. And I couldn't agree more. Music metadata has become a very interesting focal point as we have seen technology really start to evolve and change. And I personally have really been immersed in that space recently while I've been building my startup called Releasa. And part of that is because what I am building is to help simplify metadata, but we will talk about that in a little bit. Firstly, what I really want to get down into is, what is metadata to the average person? Whether you're a musician or a music industry professional, we actually unknowingly are sorting out our metadata consistently. And this can be as little as sorting out your artwork, and when you're writing the name of your artwork in your files, you are specifically writing your artist name, the song title in the artwork, and that's how we're saving it and ensuring that our metadata is labeled correctly, I should say. And this can also come down to having ISRCs for music. This also includes having, you know, performers' names, and all the way down to the specific color codes that happen on the face of an album artwork. And all of these are so important. I really want to get into exactly what forms of metadata we actually see consistently. So, you know, metadata can mean in the music industry anything from artwork to how we label and organize the album information, from release date to release title and the artist name, and the names of the artists that recorded on the album or single, all the way down to the specific color codes of a album artwork and how it can be printed. All of this information not only helps the musician and their artist team to ensure that they have the right amount of information and have the information clearly, but it also means that when we're uploading to other platforms like your distributor or your royalty collector or you name it, probably anywhere where you're actually going to share your release, it means that not only you can understand that you've given everybody the right information, but so can they and their platforms. Now, why is organizing metadata actually important? I feel like there are so many different answers to this question, and I want to really hone in on a few. The first one is that metadata helps us to identify, differentiate, and organize our releases in a really clear and informed way. Organized metadata has huge power. It means that we can have our metadata or our music stored in different locations and allow us to identify exactly what that that release is, perhaps when it's coming out, what the artwork is, all of the really, really important metadata information that makes up a release. It also then helps us to differentiate between the release that you had 5 years ago and the release that's coming up now. If you just are saving every release as new song 2023, you're not going to know once you get onto your third song that year exactly which file is what. And you're going to have to listen to that song every single time. Now, I think most of us have figured out how to naturally adapt to metadata. I don't think anyone's sitting on this podcast listening right now going, oh, wow, didn't think to change my metadata to say that it's a different type of release. Oh, how fascinating. No one's sitting here saying that, right? So I'm not going to sugarcoat this. But at the same time, there are things that a lot of artists and a lot of music industry professionals are not quite nailing when they're looking at their metadata. One of the biggest things that I started to really look at was the fact that, you know, maybe we're not including those specific color codes for like linking to our artwork for our album. You know, maybe we're not including ISRC codes when we're talking with our PR agents. All of these things we don't realize are actually important to the big picture. And as I'm building Releaser, I'm sort of uncovering all these different aspects that I just don't even think about. And that like, we are going to need to use, which has been a really fun journey. And I think it's been fascinating to see what others in the music industry have been reflecting back to me of some of their bigger issues in regards to metadata. Now, one of my favorite issues and one that I actually am actively working on within Releaser is the fact that we are using multiple platforms to help us sort, manage, and organize our metadata. I think personally, this concept blows my mind. I think metadata, and I think all of this information is so important. It all needs to be documented for a reason. There needs to be one location for this metadata to sit. But what most people are doing is having half their metadata on a Google Drive, Dropbox, you name it. And then they're also having some of this metadata sit on a email chain where the updated bio is. And they've got some of it on a Google Doc. And then they've got some of it written down in their notes, in their phone. Like, it is beyond a joke how much the music industry has just somehow adapted to this new, well, I say new, it's not really a new way of organizing data. Data's been around for years. It's just how the music industry has adapted to now having data online. I think no one really thought about it when we started having things like Spotify and distribution specifically, exactly how we're going to organize that data. Now, don't get me wrong, distributors and royalty collectors have really started to nail this organizing metadata space. But where I feel like they're really like not quite hitting the mark is that concept that metadata and organizing metadata is just related to them and their services. Because it's not. Organizing metadata is actually something that is used across the board, whether it's uploading to a distributor or whether it's sharing that to your PR team. It actually blows my mind that there is no centralized location to store your metadata, which, like, thankfully I am working on with Releaser, thank goodness. And I assure you this is not a plug for what I'm doing, but I have found it really fascinating. It's like, why aren't we fixing this? What is it about this particular issue that people are just accepting as something that is just how we do it? Particularly when a lot of metadata is getting mixed up and uploaded wrong consistently. But to not keep harping on about that, I do also want to share why it's important to have metadata with user experiences. Now, I didn't quite connect really well as I was building, learning further about metadata, but the way that we choose our genres, our instruments, and even categorize the musicians and the performers on the track can actually help our users or our fans or audience to help discover our music better. Now, I think most of us have an understanding that whenever you put your genre into your distributor profile for release, you're specifically putting in genres that you know your track resonates with, so that then you have more potential at gaining playlisting. But where I feel like our gap in that and our mindset maybe shifts is the concept that not only does it allow for you to get put on playlisting, but it also makes it easier for your audience to find you. I think a lot of us underestimate the fact that, like, sure, obviously there are genre playlists, and people are being put on these genre specific playlists and gaining a lot of followers, but there's also a lot of people that are searching through specific genres who are not on playlists to find new music, or even just having the algorithm on platforms like Spotify feed your specific genre to other people just purely because they showed an interest in a song that had a similar genre. That is the power of metadata. The power of metadata to allow someone to find your music just purely because you picked a specific genre while you uploaded it. And again, I think that shows the power of the fact that, like, if you also wrote it wrong, it's going to be wrong and people aren't going to find your music. So I've found that very, very fascinating personally, and something that I think most of the music industry isn't quite grasping is how powerful metadata is and how much not only we use it, but then the rest of the community uses it. All of our fans, other musicians, all of the music industry. We all use organized metadata daily and we don't even realize. Now, apart from the really interesting project I've got with Releaser at the moment in trying to organize metadata to make it easier than before, I have also come across some very interesting trends in the space of metadata, and that is watermarking. Now, watermarking is something that I think a lot of people don't have a full understanding about. And I feel like if you are very, very curious about this particular aspect of metadata, I would suggest that you go back to our Sharing Music Securely with Mark Brown, where we talked about a scratch level of exactly what watermarking is and how to share your music in a secure way. But basically, watermarking is a digital signal that is embedded within the audio data itself, often inaudible to human ears. The purpose of music watermarking is to mark or tag a particular audio file with information about its origin, copyright, or ownership without significantly altering the sound and the quality of it, basically. And I find this very fascinating. I think this goes to show the depth and value of having metadata and securing it in a very structured way. To me, it highlights a very interesting space within the music industry that hasn't been widely talked about, and that is the sharing of music in a secure way. A lot of people have talked about sharing their music before release onto certain platforms. And I think music watermarking really helps us to discover exactly how we can do this and do it in a way that puts us all with a peace of mind. And that includes before, during, and after a release. I really love that we are seeing more and more a lot of these different changes within the music industry to help us protect our metadata and also organize it in a really clean, clear, and specific way. Now, I hope that today's episode made a lot of sense to you and hopefully gave you a little bit more information about what is metadata. I have a feeling that most likely I am going to become a bit of a nerd about metadata in the next few years, and I look forward to hopefully annoying you guys again soon about a little bit further into the depth of the space and the power of metadata and the impact it can have on you, your music, and your artist teams. Until then, I hope you guys are killing it in the music industry, and I look forward to talking with you all soon with some new guests on the podcast.